Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Well, I'm sure you noticed I'm not Pastor Will. I hope you're not too disappointed.
No.
As always, when I get the opportunity to speak, I will do the best that I can with the gifts that God has given me.
Amen.
And I can always take solace in knowing that Mark 11:25 says, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses." So if I mess up too badly, all I need to do is ask everyone to stand and pray with me at the end, and you're all required by the good book to forgive me.
Amen.
And don't worry, I wasn't raised a Baptist. So when I say, I ain't gonna keep you long, I actually mean it.
Take your time, brother.
So how did I get here? Well, Pastor Will texted me on Tuesday night to ask if I'd be interested in doing the sermon this week, since we're commemorating Memorial Day. I was honestly a little surprised, and my response was a simple, "Let me put some thought into it." And he gave me a good pastor's response of, "However you feel led." So I thought about it that night as I was laying in bed trying to sleep, wondering what I could speak about, and even if anything that I could come up with could be more meaningful or more impactful than what Pastor Will would say. You see, my doubts were because as a currently serving active duty member of the military, Memorial Day is not for me. Memorial Day is to remember those that have died while serving in the armed forces. And since I am very much alive, Pastor Will is just as qualified as me or anybody else to speak on the topic of Memorial Day. Continuing the story of how I ended up speaking today, I took a run at lunchtime on Wednesday, which I frequently do. And as many of you know, I'm stationed at the Navy base in Norfolk. So it's a nice to run along the piers and pass all the different classes of ships that are in port at the time. As I was running, there was a slight breeze, which was making all the flags on the ships wave. It was a truly beautiful sight, and as I ran, I began to think of Isaiah 6:8, which says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me." I then realized that that is what linked me, all of the sailors on those ships, everyone here today who has served in the military, and all of those who we will be commemorating tomorrow on Memorial Day. At one point in their lives, when they got the call to serve, they all responded with, "Here am I, send me."
Amen.
As I said before, Memorial Day is for remembering and honoring those heroes who never came home. The importance of remembering and honoring can be seen throughout the Bible. After the flood in Genesis, God placed a rainbow in the sky and said to Noah, "I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." In the book of Exodus, God established the Passover feast for the Jews to remember their liberation by God from slavery in ancient Egypt and their freedom as a nation under the leadership of Moses. God, through his servant Moses, inflicted 10 plagues upon the ancient Egyptians before the Pharaoh would release the Israelites. The 10th and final plague, which is the one which ultimately won the Israelites their freedom, was the death of the firstborn. During it, the Israelites were instructed to mark the doorposts of their homes with the blood of a lamb. And upon seeing this, the Spirit of the Lord knew to pass over the firstborn of these homes, which is where the feast gets its name. It is very telling that of all the 10 plagues, the one which God felt it most important to remember is the one where salvation came through the shedding of the blood of the Lamb. Especially when we remember that later in the book of John, Jesus refers to himself as the Lamb of God. In the book of Joshua, after God miraculously stopped the flow of the Jordan River to enable the Israelites to cross, he directed a memorial built of 12 stones. God then explained, "When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the Israelites a memorial forever." Looking at men such as Moses, Aaron, and later Joshua in the Old Testament, you can see that it takes men to answer, "Here am I, send me," for a nation to get its freedom and to maintain that freedom.
All right.
As disciples of Christ, we assemble every week at the Lord's table to remember our salvation through the death of Jesus Christ. Communion is so central to us that we have chosen the chalice as our symbol, and normally the communion table is located prominently and centrally in the sanctuary, just as it is in ours. And as an ever-present reminder, we have carved into the face of our communion table what Jesus instructed, to do this in memory of me. This ceremony that we do every week is a memorial to Jesus' death and resurrection and the salvation it brought until he comes again. Through Jesus' death, we now have freedom from sin and death. We did nothing to deserve it, but he died to give us our freedom. Yeah. And every week, we share at this table and remember. In John 15:13, Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Mm-hmm. You can read countless award citations of heroes who never came home, because that is exactly what they did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As an example of one, I'm going to read a Medal of Honor citation. For those of you who do not know, the Medal of Honor is the highest award in the United States military. Being awarded the Medal of Honor requires that the recipient had distinguished themselves conspicuously by gallantry at the risk of their own life above and beyond the call of duty, and must occur while engaged in action against an enemy of the United States. I'm going to read the citation of Chaplain Charles Waters, who was awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions during the Battle of Dak Tho in Vietnam. "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Chaplain Waters distinguished himself during an assault in the vicinity of Dak Tho. Chaplain Waters was moving with one of the companies when it engaged a heavily armored enemy battalion. As the battle raged and the casualties mounted, Chaplain Waters, with complete disregard for his safety, rushed forward to the line of contact. Unarmed and completely exposed, he moved among, as well as in front of the advancing troops, giving aid to the wounded, assisting in their evacuation, giving words of encouragement, and administering the last rites to the dying. When a wounded paratrooper was standing in shock in front of the assaulting forces, Chaplain Waters ran forward, picking the man up on his shoulders and carried him to safety. As the troopers battled to the first enemy entrenchment, Chaplain Waters ran through the intense enemy fire to the front of the entrenchment to aid a fallen comrade. A short time later, the paratroopers pulled back in preparation for a second assault. Chaplain Waters exposed himself to both friendly and enemy fire between the two forces in order to recover two wounded soldiers. Later, when the battalion was forced to pull back into a perimeter, Chaplain Waters noticed that several wounded soldiers were lying outside this newly formed perimeter. Without hesitation and ignoring attempts to restrain him, Chaplain Waters left the perimeter three times in the face of small arms, automatic weapons, and mortar fire to carry and to assist the injured troopers to safety. Satisfied that all the wounded were now inside the perimeter, he began aiding the medics, applying field bandages to open wounds, obtaining and serving food and water, giving spiritual and mental strength and comfort. During his ministering, he moved out of the perimeter from a position to position, distributing food and water, and tending to the needs of his men. Chaplain Waters was giving aid to the wounded when he himself was mortally wounded. Chaplain Waters' unyielding perseverance and selfless devotion to his comrades was in keeping with the highest traditions of the United States Army. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Yes. Chaplain Waters and many others like him who died in the service of this country embodied that. We all know that when Jesus said this, that he already knew he was going to die on the cross, that he was not only going to lay down his life for friends, but to lay down his life to save all of humanity. Our salvation, our freedom from sin and death came through the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we remember and honor it every day when, as Christians, we dedicate our lives to him, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Please don't misinterpret me. I'm not saying that we should worship our fallen heroes like we worship Jesus. Absolutely not. But what I am saying is that as Christians, we have a keen understanding of what it means to have someone lay down their life for you and the importance of honoring and remembering that sacrifice. Amen. We understand it, because our whole salvation through Jesus Christ is based on it. Mm-hmm. I've already said several times that Memorial Day is to remember and honor. And there are multiple ways that we currently remember and honor. We have war memorials. We adorn graves with flags and decorations. I can remember that when I was growing up, every small town in our area had an honor roll to commemorate those who answered the call. At the Citadel, where I went to college, they marked lights out at the end of the day with the playing of taps. Following the death of a Citadel graduate in action, they will play what is known as echo taps at the end of the day as a way to honor and remember. Echo taps is basically two buglers playing taps together as a sort of call and response, simulating an echo. Something to remind us that we are not just marking the end of the day, but the end of a life spent in service to the nation. I heard echo taps multiple times while I was at the Citadel. The first time was during my first semester, following the death of Chad Buehring, class of 1985. Then my second semester, we had echo taps for Chris Kenney, class of 1993, and Daniel Eggers, class of 1997. My sophomore year, we remembered Tim Krager, class of 1993, and Dan Malcolm, class of 2001. Junior year, we remembered Robert Durenda, class of 1985, Arsenio Domingo, class of 1987, and finally, Almar Fitzgerald, class of 2004. Almar Fitzgerald was especially moving for many because as a member of the class of 2004, his time as a cadet overlapped with the seniors and juniors at the time. So many of us at the school remembered him. He wasn't just a name in a class year connected through a common choice of school, but he was someone that many knew personally. This personal connection continued my senior year when we remembered Joshua Booth, class of 2005. Killed in action only 17 months after graduating. I know there's next to no chance that any of you knew any of them personally or recognized their names as I said them, but I wanted to say their names out loud this morning as another way to honor them and to help us all remember that every American who never made it home had a name, people who loved them, and a potential future that was cut short after they said, "Here am I, send me." I was not there to hear it, but Echo Taps was played in January of 2013 for my classmate, Aaron Whitman, who was killed in action in Afghanistan. I'm wearing the wristband today that our class had made in commemoration of Aaron. While preparing for today, I looked back at my yearbook from our senior year, and the quote Aaron chose to be included below his picture was, "If you don't live for something, you will die for nothing." Well, Aaron, my friend, you live for something. You are one of the select few who said, "Here am I, send me." I've said a few times already that Memorial Day is for remembering and honoring. It is not and should not be a day of mourning. After World War II, General George Patton gave a speech at the Copley Plaza Hotel in Boston. During that speech, when discussing all of the Americans who died during the war, he said, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived." I think General Patton's words very, very appropriately describe how we should think of Memorial Day. For the past week, every now and then, a little cartoon, different varieties, they'll pop up in my social media feed, and they seem to imply that people that have barbecues and enjoy their time off are somehow showing disrespect to America's patriot dead, claiming they are sort of forgetting like the reason for the season, like we sometimes hear at Christmas time. It seems like some people think that we should all sit in a dark room with taps playing in the background and somberly reading through a list of all fallen service members while crying, and that anything else is disrespectful. Why? It is a day to remember, not a day to mourn. Yes. Enjoy the day with all of its traditional festivities. Go to that cookout. Spend time with family, friends, and loved ones. Just while you're doing it, take some time to remember and say thank you. Be grateful for the lives we have been able to live in safety. Celebrate the precious freedoms that we have enjoyed over the course of our country's history because of people like my classmate Aaron Whitman and Chaplain Waters and all other brave men and women who sacrificed their lives for America. America as both a people and an idea. An idea that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and an idea of equality, freedom, and inclusiveness that over our 243-year history, we have been working as a country to get closer and closer to, an idea that makes me think of our Disciples of Christ identity statement when it says, we welcome all to the Lord's table as God has welcomed us. Amen. And the reminder that we'll sometimes hear that all truly means all. I don't know when or if we'll ever completely get there as a nation, but if we stop trying, then it will really mean that they will have died in vain. So as the band comes back up on stage, I will leave you with this. Roughly 1.3 million Americans have died answering their call to military service. They died for America. They died for, as it says in the first line of the Constitution, we the people. We the people. We are America. And the best way that we can honor them is by faithfully answering our call so that their sacrifice is not in vain. God has called each and every one of you to a purpose, and will continue to call you throughout your life. Are you listening? Some have been called to be teachers. Some have been called to heal and tend to the sick and suffering. Some have been called to build and create things. Some have been called to manage programs and offices and businesses. Yeah. Some have been called to raise and tend to families. Yeah. Some have multiple callings throughout their lives. When you hear his call, are you going to answer, here am I, send me? God desires to speak into our hearts, encouraging us, shaping us, convicting us, and inspiring us. Are you listening to his call? Are you aware of his presence and his desire to want to communicate with you? And once you have heard it, are you willing to trust what he is saying and actually do it? God is speaking to you. Are you listening? When we learn to hear the voice of our Father in heaven, we can walk by faith and not by sight. We can move through life with confidence, knowing that we have received the word of God and are doing what he has called us to do, boldly responding to that call, here am I, send me. Please take the day tomorrow to remember and honor our nation's patriot dead. That is what it is there for. But in a way, you can make Memorial Day every day, because you're answering your call according to the gifts that God has given you is the greatest tribute and memorial that you can give to those American service members who have died in defense of this nation. Constantly listen for God's call and to work to make this a better country and a better world. Answer the call. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you guys this. I might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but I think I see a Navy chaplain in the near future. Do you guys see that? It's awesome. Amen. That was killer.
Amen.
We're going to do this song called Who You Say I Am. And it's so wonderful, and I love the lyrics because God, the highest King, has called us to be his children. This is our Father's house, and we are free because of the relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's all stand together and sing this song, Who You Say I Am.
Hopefully you all have heard God's call on your life today. Hopefully God has spoken to you in this moment as we remember those who have come before and served. But God is still using us, and he is calling us into his service. So if there's a one, has any doubt what God is doing in your life, you want to reignite on your journey to follow him, we invite you now to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're looking for a church home. We invite you to join this station of Zion and begin your new journey and your walk with Christ. Is there a one?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Yes, his love for me. The sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed me. Oh, his grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. I am chosen. Say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Amen.
Praise God. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each and every one of us, henceforth, now, and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.